With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You're listening to Achtung Norwalk, broadcasting from the beautiful South Burnley. Accept no substitute.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome, dear listeners. Welcome to a cold, grey January afternoon in South Bermondsey. Her Majesty's Prison, South Bermondsey. I passed the lines of Stasi, checking my papers. They are in order. My COVID passport checked out. I passed the line of sniffer dogs. I'm not carrying anything other than my heart attack spray that I have to carry around with me. And I got in past the turnstile. So, all good on my front, I can tell you that much. With this afternoon's fixture against Nottingham Forest has been delayed for mysterious reasons, 10-minute delay for a medical emergency, whether that's the absence this afternoon of Jed Wallace from the Millwall team and substitutes bench, who knows. Apparently he's injured, but your Lions team this afternoon, Barfield-Kofsky in goal, don't know whether we're going to be playing a flat back four, but Danny Mack, Murray Wallace, Sean Hutchinson, Jake Cooper. Midfield this afternoon, George Evans, Billy Mitch, up front Ojo Afobe and Bradshaw. Scott Malone in the left side position as well. If make whatever you can out of that series of scrambled up names, dear listeners. It's been a dramatic old week here, dear listeners. What can you say? FA inquiries after the missile lobbing. More missiles than in the Ukraine against Crystal Palace last weekend. Generating a statement by Chief Exec Steve Kavanagh has gone down like a lead balloon, or perhaps a state visit by Prince Andrew amongst the internet support. I'm going to leave it there. I've got nothing to say on the matter other than the fact that if you throw stuff on the pitch in live TV, you're going to get some comeback, aren't you? But anyway, move on to today's fixture. This feels rather like a landmark fixture. The visit of Nottingham Forest to the Den is always one of the big games of the season. This afternoon does feel for Millwall a bit of a test whether there is indeed life after Jed Wallace in the Championship. I believe there is. I believe we showed enough against Crystal Palace to remain hopeful. There's been no transfer business. I imagine that Jed will be signing for someone, whether it's this afternoon's visitors, the erstwhile suitors for his hand in marriage. Nottingham Forest, who knows? Forest are wearing a bizarre, luminous green and orange, kind of like a mash-up of opal fruits kit this afternoon. Lions, of course, in the familiar dark blue shirts and white shorts. Forest will be kicking us off, attacking the cold glow lane in accordance with the dictates of the Venerable Bede, writing from Jarrow Monastery in Anglo-Saxon England via the Anglo-Saxon Chronicles. So enough old tosh, off the field matters, it's back to football, which is the way that I like it. And it's going to be one-time Millwall player, modern-day villain Lewis Grabban, to kick us off. What can possibly go wrong, dear listeners? And off we go. Well, Ishmael straight under the attack in seconds. Ball across the face of the goal and the attention of Benik Afobe. Just 10 seconds on the stadium clock. Wow, there's a start. Lions retain possession again. It's an open start by Millwall. We're not even 30 seconds into the match. And once again, we have the ball deep in defence. Great to see the Lions go at it. Let's hope that we keep that kind of fire in the belly this afternoon. That brings the crowd into play. And for better or for worse, that is our 12th man. It might cost a few quid in fines from time to time. But that's the way it's always been since 1885, from what my reading shows. On the bench, we have Jules Lowell, Michael Keith, and Ben Thompson making a welcome return. Matt Smith, Mason Bennett, Connor Mahoney. I'm going to write a letter to the Times. I've spotted the first Connor Mahoney of 2022. And Tyler Bury, who really did impress me. I don't know about you, dear listeners, in his late cameo versus Crystal Palace. So I'm hoping that we'll see him at some stage. We do love a bit of drama down the den, don't we? So I don't know if any of you are students of like the Spanish and the Indian soaps. There's always a dramatic finish after each episode, and that seems to be life at Millwall. We were kind of drama junkies. Drama queens should be probably not best choice of words, given the statements on homophobic chants last week. Any roads, as my old nan would say. We're not 2 minutes into the game, Millwall once again pressing forwards. Early brightness by the Lions. This is Shay Ojo over on the right side. Dispossessed rather cheaply, I fear. Another poor ball out wide. This is Murray Wallace. Missed last week following the birth of his baby, or his wife's baby. Lovely turn by Benik Afobe. Surging into the box. Oh, really the post he went for. The power. Palmed by him by the goalkeeper. Number 30, dressed all in white this afternoon. Unusual choice for a goalkeeper. I do remember Peter Shilton in the 70s choosing white as his choice of goalkeeping kit, as against the traditional green, but you don't see many of them. So it'll be a Millwall left-sided corner. Nice opening by Millwall. Left-sided corner it goes. He's taking it short to Benik. He retains possession. Shot wide left by Murray Wallace. Well wide left, in truth. So, yeah, some contrary stories in the week. Jed Wallace was due to be named in the squad this afternoon. Reports from the Sun Football, an ever-reliable source online, that he's disgruntled with Millwall keep turning down bids for him and his agent pressing for a deal. Who knows? This is like a game of cat and mouse that players play nowadays. I will be sorry to see him gone, but I personally, he's our best player, but I will personally be very, very happy to see this soap opera put to rest, because I think it's a distraction. And if we're going to sell him, sell him. If he's to stay, make him stay. Hold him to his contract. But either way, it'll be nice to get past the endless speculation. This afternoon's opponents apparently have made a £1.25 million bid, which seems to me very cheap for a player of Jed Wallace's quality. With Lyle Taylor possibly being talked about as a make weight in a potential deal. One of the boys, Mike Hayden, did see Lyle Taylor signing some autographs for kids down below during the pre-match warm-up. Now, whether that means he's going to be also signing a contract for us, I don't know. Seems a bit of a stretch to draw that conclusion, but that's the basis on which our show often operates. Stretches. Nice little ball through. This is Tom Bradshaw, gets caught there by the 27. Referee lets play on, and Scott Malone shoots over the bar, left side, from the resulting ball through. The referee playing the advantage there quite nicely, actually. Tom Bradshaw having to take a clatter for the team in that little incident. Good start by Benik Afobe. Another nice pass there, deep in their own defence, but he's been looking very, very switched on. Nice take and turn by Shay Ojo. Draws a free kick in the centre circle. I would think a yellow card. Referee wants a word, certainly. Maybe a little early for his yellow card. They're almost 7 minutes in. I'll stay with a free kick. George Evans chips it forwards towards Murray Wallace. He gets a head to it. No real direction, unfortunately. talk online. Apparently we're in for Louis Sibley, I don't know him, of Derby, and Fortuna Sittard's Zian Fleming. Both, apparently we bid for both players, both turned down at this stage. So Fortuna Sittard, don't know much about that club, don't know any of the names, but there we are. It sounds exotic enough to be interesting, listeners, doesn't it? Nice take midfield. Shayojo surging one down the middle. He finds Tom Bradshaw overlapping him. Ticking towards 11 minutes. Bradshaw puts a ball across the face of the box just in front of Scott Malone. That was inches from going in for the first goal. Lovely, lovely ball in from the right side by Tom Bradshaw, dear listeners. Malone trying to stretch. I think has overdone it. He's gingerly getting up inside the 6-yard box. It's going to be a corner. Must have taken a touch from a Forest defender. Polite applause for that effort. Left-sided free kick, 12 and a half minutes. Jake Cooper goes tumbling. Referee gives nothing. I think because he's a big boy, it's a bit like the Matt Smith syndrome. You're a big boy, you don't get anything. Somehow it's deemed to be part of the rough and tumble of your game. That looked like a penalty to me. Benningafobi turns his man, number four, long ball down the flank. Oh, he just runs straight into it, unfortunately. Unlucky. Good work by Benningafobi there. A little bit more fortune, he'd have been through on goal. One interesting thing in the soliloquy by Steve Cavanagh that I did pick up on is that the club plan to dump the iFollow service next season, produce their own version of their own TV service. So a lot of clubs are doing this now to escape the dead hand of iFollow. That's going to be an interesting move. Apparently other clubs do this, even Charlton do it, and good quality content is produced, so that's interesting. I like the sound of that. This is on the right side, ball in from the right, so it falls to Benningafobi inside the box. Pulled down, no. Referee giving nothing again. 20 minutes on the clock. Lions are still first to every loose ball at the moment, dear listeners. It's been a great start by Millwall. That was opportunity there as the ball came in from the right side. Bennett went down, claiming to be pulled, but the referee's not forgiving much to us this afternoon so far, anyway. All over the top towards Tom Bradshaw. He's done well to get his head to that. He jumps well. He reminds me a little bit of the way Tim Cahill used to be able to hang in the air. He's got a similar kind of quality for a small guy. He does give a free kick for Nottingham Forest just to break up a chance and all to bring forwards, but he does seem to be rather wayward in his judgment so far, listeners. Is that a polite way to... Got to be a bit careful. There was a thing from The Athletic I saw about Manchester United. Apparently some fans were making heightist remarks. This is not a joke or a wind-up. When Wolves played them, apparently one of the Wolves players, very small bloke, and I guess, usual kind of remarks from the crowd about short people, and that's been deemed as discriminatory abuse. You've got to be so careful. The world is moving in a very strange direction, and the things that were once every day are overtaking. I must admit, sometimes, been brought up, in the 60s and 70s and 80s, you feel a little bit like you're being left behind by these times. Right? I take it there's a political conversation got to be having. That's a lovely ball down the middle. Bradshaw takes some turns. He checks inside the box and can't keep his footing. Unlucky Tom Bradshaw. 21 minutes, halfway through the first half now. Comes to 22. It's been pretty much all Millwall. I mean, the speed of movement up front, both Bennick and Tom Bradshaw there. Unlucky not to be able to keep his footing inside the penalty area, but it's been bright stuff by Millwall. So good start so far. 0-0 at the halfway point of the first half. Ticking towards 25 minutes. Who's this down there? Is this Bradshaw? I hope he's going to be okay. He's been very, very good so far this game. He won't want to come off, that's for sure. Well, he looks like he's hurt himself, Tom Bradshaw. He's grimacing down there, so Well, we wait to see how this pans out. Little bit of news, loan news. Dan Moss, Millwall under 23 right back, has joined Leighton Orient, joining Kenny Jackett over there at Brisbane Road on loan till the end of the 21-22 season. Previously impressed on loan with Vanarama National League side Yeovil Town. He'll link up with Alex Mitchell, who also gets very good reports. Another bit of loan news in the sense of being recalled from St Johnstone is Hayden Muller's coming back to the Den. That was on news at Den earlier on this afternoon. Bradshaw's limping away. No, there is a substitution. Mason Bennett's coming. That's a shame. Played well so far in his 25 minutes cameo, Tom Bradshaw. Good applause. Ooh, that was close as Bart Bielkowski cleared his lines there. 29 minutes. The break in play has just caused slight lull in proceedings from the Millwall perspective. It's been a good start to the game so far, but the loss of Tom Bradshaw is a bit of a blow. Game's just moved into a bit of an aimless phase. Loss of Tom Bradshaw, I think, will be, you know, a loss on the Millwall side of things. We've just got to stay switched on, because this is where Forest will feel they can start to get back into a game that was really they were second best in so far. Strongly thinking of doing with the popularity of the cookery shows, like a review of the Den's catering, listeners. I bought myself, I'm a bit peckish this afternoon, so I bought myself a steak and ale pie at the West Upper Emporium, and a cup of Bovril. The Bovril, I'm going to sound a bit like, who was they have on MasterChef? Jay Rayner. I'm now the Jay Rayner of Athlone Mill, but the Bovril was rather thin in its consistency and barely went beyond tepid hot water. The pie was on the brink of had moisture, the kind of same kind of moisture you might get in the Sahara Desert near an oasis, you know, that kind of like brief passing through moisture in the meat. Primarily it was pastry with a bit of gravy in there and a little bit of meat. I suppose if you're on starvation rations, then it's better than not eating anything at all. But it wasn't exactly a culinary masterpiece. Game started brightly for Millwall, but it's gone a little bit off the boil. A bit like my Bovril earlier on. Much needed when I first got in the ground, but after two or three sips of it, it was a little more than gently warm water. A hint of Bovril would be a better description of it. I'm banging on about the Bovril now, listeners. Millwall passing the ball quite nicely. They found space for Billy Mitchell. He's fed Shea Ojo. He's got Benikofobic on the inside of him. He's just run into trouble. Three defenders surrounding Benikofobic as he received that ball. But there come Forrest on the break now. The nine surging down the middle left. 42 minutes on the clock. Ball into the centre. It breaks away. This is Graben. What would he do? He'd love to score, wouldn't he? Oh, that's a great save from Bart Bielkowski. 22 fired from very close range there, just outside the 6-yard box. Great save by Bart Bielkowski, 42 minutes. Mill dodge a bullet there. Forrest on the edge of the penalty now. 2 minutes, that all. Wow, seemed like more than that. But anyway, here's the 20 just outside the middle penalty. The 22 inside the box. That's fired into the danger zone. Bouncing around still somehow, Bart gets a fist to it somehow. Forrest in the ascendancy here, listeners. Over on the left side now, ball into the box, and Mill do clear it. Ryan's very much on the back foot now in these last few minutes of the first half. The nine takes and turns. He jinks into the penalty on the left side, shot across the face of the goal. This is now on the right side now. This is the two pressing forwards. Ball fired at Bart Bielkowski, and somehow Mill break away. There's a kid down in front of me with a beer in hand, pointed at someone in the Forest crowd and suddenly mouthing threats and menaces to him. He still has it. You can't see him. I don't know why I'm saying look. Anyway, this will be last chance of the first half, I feel, for Millwall. Scott Malone to take the free kick. It's 2 minutes are up now. Floated in deep. That was away from Jake Cooper. There's the half-time whistle. 0-0 at the break. Lions making a really good, bright start to the game. Faded away from the latter stages there as Forest started to take the game back to us. But overall, it's been an energetic and at times unlucky first half. But 0-0 at the break, dear listeners.
Achtung, Millwall.
Some good news on the news at the end, listeners. I was just reading the website in the half-time break here. The expected return of Dan Ballard and Ryan Leonard appears to be much sooner than was originally forecast. Both are injured, obviously, earlier in the season. Both are making good recoveries. Possibly the fabled spring water of Downham has assisted in their recovery, very similar to those found at Lourdes and some of the other shrines around Western Europe. But both are hopefully going to come back onto Gary Rowett's radar very, very soon, which can only be good news, particularly Ryan Leonard, I feel. Here come the Lions out for the second half. Substitution here, who we've got coming in now? Ben Thompson on for Shea Ojo. Must have taken a knock. Great to see Ben out there in the action again, listeners. I thought he was out of favour, but it's great to see him back in the side. He's got 45 minutes to impress. I think he played for the under-23. I haven't subscribed to the new video service, Recast. I don't know if you have, dear listeners. I thought it was going to be like, it's a strange system. You get like credits, and I thought it was going to be a free thing. But actually, you have to buy some credits to watch the under-23 game. I'm not going to do that. Tight-fisted old git that I am. But they've switched over to Recast. Maybe that's part of this planned switch away from iFollow next season. I don't know. Game is underway. Darkness falls over South Bermondsey. Little inside flick there, just away from Ben Thompson. I went to see the Danny Baker and Danny Kelly show last week. It was on a Blackheath horse. Quite a good show, Sunday night, and both good raconteurs. Baker is live is quite something to behold. He don't stop talking. I kind of envy that kind of energy. I don't have that ability to talk and talk and talk. I'm not sure it's the most endearing quality at times, but certainly in the context of a show, you need that. And we had some great stories. The old Dan, his old man, going to QPR when we got B61 there. Chinning someone in the crowd. Hand grenade on at Brentford. All in the context of football as part of both his and Danny Kelly's life. And your life and my life too, dear listeners. So yeah, it was an interesting show. I recommend it. Not sure I'd want to go and see it too often, but it was good. That's damned with faint praise, isn't it? Not sure I'd want to go and see it very often, but I wouldn't mind seeing it once in a while. It's that kind of pitch. Taken turn by the nine, running towards the Millwall goal. It's a dangerous situation. Nice covering by Jake Cooper. 47 minutes, comes towards 48 minutes. It's going to be a left-sided corner for Forrest. Forrest shirt has, I've always said Roxy. It says boxed, but it had a similar font to Roxy Music. I thought maybe they're all, maybe Roxy Music are sponsoring them or something, but it isn't. So that's the end of that little thought, isn't it? In comes the corner taken short back to the 20. We'll get the chance to cross it now. He's goal kick. Ben Thompson covering. He worked that. He actually was laying on the ball, and the ball I think was still in play technically. So he is one of our own, isn't he? Absolutely. Jinky run down the right side. That's headed up and away by Jake Cooper. George Evans brings out Billy Mitchell. Lions just getting hurried a little bit. I think Forrest's half-time team talk involved them raising the tempo of their game. Not so easy to pick up those second balls that I described in the first half, dear listeners. good atmosphere. Darkness falls as floodlights are on. Millwall atmosphere, what more do you want? Wherever you're listening in the world, from Timbuktu to Tobago and Trinidad. This is Millwall. I suppose the gamble for Gary Rowett at this halfway point, 67 minutes, is whether you're going to introduce any of the creatives into the team. First ball over the top of Danny Mack to take on the right side of the penalty area. That's run for a corner, right side of the corner. Nice take on the run in from Danny Mack there. Forces a right side of the corner. The delicate creatives, Tyler Bury, Conor Mahoney. Introduce them into this game, I don't know. Forrest coming forwards now. Ball out wide, right, is a chance, ball into the box, bounces around, it should be cleared by Scott Malone, and is. One point that Baker did make, I'll come back to the point that Baker did make, George Evans gets caught in the midfield there. Slack work by Evans, but he does do well to get the ball back, in fairness, 70 minutes. This is Mason Bennett now. Surging on the left side, he takes on his man, he runs straight into him, unfortunately. Yeah, one point that Baker made, which was an interesting one, I thought, was that for many, many people, many fans that go to the games, football is as much about the social interaction with mates and people you sit near, or, you know, the fortnightly face that you know, don't know his name, all that kind of thing. And it's as much about the thing of being here, rather than actually any kind of deep study or, you know, knowledge of football as a sport, as it's played. I don't know if I fully agree with that, but I kind of get where he's going with the social and interactive side of it, being with your mates. This is a little backheel shot there from nice move, actually, intricate move. That was grabbing, trying to backheel it into the den. That would have been right up his street. That had come up, it was saved nicely by Bart Bielkowski. Big orange sign on the screen. Please don't be a tosser. This is the phrase chosen by the club to ask people not to throw missiles on the field. Don't be a tosser. It's memorable. I'm not sure. I suppose is the point of any advertising is to be remembered, isn't it? Whether it has any impact on those that do it, I don't know. It remains to be seen. But don't be a tosser. Please don't be a tosser. The 8 takes it, it's into the centre. Oh, that's headed down and off and away from Danny Mack on the line, pretty much. Mill can't get the ball out of their own penalty area at the moment. Ball back into the middle, that was a flick header from Graben. I think it's still in play. Forrest still putting the ball back and forwards. That's batted away by Bart from a deflected header by Graben. Nicely done by Bart Bielkowski, saves the day. Milk under a bit of pressure at the moment, 78 minutes, listeners. Long ball forwards. Mason Bennett wins it on the right side of the Forest area. Taking on his man, what can he do? Can he get across in? He can, it's across the face of the goal. It's Bennett and Fulby! Batted off the line by the goalkeeper. Poked from close by Bennett, and the goalkeeper did well to get a fingertip to it. Pushes it wide for a left side of corner. It's been taken very quickly. This is Bennett-Gophobia again on the left side. He's run into trouble there. Malone. Mitchell now. All the way back to Murray Wallace. Both sides having good opportunities in this second half. This is now Sean Hutchinson. Ball out wide left, surely. Here's the ball out wide left. This is now Scott Malone. Deep ball into the... I thought that was a... Crowd making as if it had crossed the line, but I think that, well, it didn't, because there's a sensor on there, isn't there? No goal, but it was a shot come cross. Bennett-Gophobia wins the ball on the left side now. Hustled and bustled, he's still got the ball. Falls to Scott Malone, Bennett's in the area. Oh, cleared off his foot down the left side. Late chances for Millwall, dear listeners. Ticking towards the final 10 seconds of the game. This is Scott Malone on the left side. He's punted it deep into nowhere territory, unfortunately. A little bit too much of that at times from Millwall this second half, but it's been a pretty spirited match from both sides. I think both have taken a game to the other. The Lions have certainly done well to force some of these late chances. Forest will also class themselves as unlucky. There they break. Midfield coming down the left side of the Mill defence. That's going to run through to seven. Battered away, there's a goal. 1-0 for Forest. Graben slots home from late. Ah! 1 minute into deep added time. Break down the right side, ball in from the right, it falls across the middle 6 yard box, and you can't keep allowing that and expect to keep defending it. And there's Graben to poke home, easy chance in the end from very, very close range. 1-0 Forest, I think that's going to be it, dear listeners. Headed up and away, it's going to fall to Forest on the break. Surging forward, just one Danny Mack back there, and he does well to cut out that Sergio. There it is. Final whistle. Lions gutted to lose it. Don't deserve to lose it. I thought, to be fair, it was going to be a draw, but there you go. If you don't take your chances and the opposition do, then that's the outcome of it. But there it finishes. Full time at the Den. 0-0. Nottingham Forest 1. The late goal from, you guessed it, Lewis Graben. We'll be back after these messages.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
So here's my take as I walk away from the Den towards Tilwood Estate. Gutted, actually. Really, really gutted. I thought that was a really hard result for Mill to take. It was a massive game of two halves. In the sense that in the first half we were the better team, and I thought Forest were going to try a little sort of smash and grab type thing with their last few minutes. But apart from those last few minutes, we were clearly the better team, but just needed to take some chances. Second half, yes, it was all Forest, but I don't think you can knock the determination of that Millwall side. We were absolutely depleted. You know, we've got our most informed striker and comes off injured in the first half. Ojo went down injured, and as he came off the pitch, and then full time, he's wearing a boot, so clearly that's a bad injury. Bennett, I thought he was knocked spark out when he was in the air, but he's dusted himself down and really kept going. Hutchinson was limping a fair bit as well towards the end. And if you've got a team that's so depleted and your midfield consists of Mitchell, who puts in a great deal of effort but is not massively attacking minded, Thompson, who hasn't featured at all when he's back in the side, and Evans, who seems to get a nosebleed when he goes past the halfway line, you're not going to get the service that Fobe wants. But again, I don't think you can knock the side. That just shows the depth of the squad, and we just miss so many key players. There's a guy at the Den sat next to me today. He made a great point just before Forrest scored, ironically. He said if it wasn't for inept strikers today, that game would have been 5-5, and I do think maybe not as much as 5, but at least a 1-2 would have been a fair result because we both had chances. But similar with the Palace game, Forrest took it and we didn't. The Afobe one was clearly a key miss, and Wallace's one, that went over the bar, I don't know. But you can't be too disappointed with Millwall there. Maybe, yeah, again, we didn't have the quality, but we just haven't got the players at the moment through injury, COVID and transfer speculation. But come on, you Lions. On to the next one.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Well, there we are, listeners. Another disappointing home loss. Second one in a week, one way and the other. Joining me to chew over the cud now. Chew over the cud? Chew over the cud? That's because we were just speaking about food off air. Chew over the cud. If only I could have had some cod yesterday. It's Steve Evans. How are you, mate?
Yeah, morning, Nick. Morning, everyone.
I don't know what to make of yesterday's results, Steve. It feels like a bit of a turning point in the season with mid-table respectability being our target now, mate. How did you find yesterday's
result? Yeah, we were chatting beforehand and I said, I think yesterday was probably the last game you looked at and thought, if we're going to do something this season, we needed to win yesterday.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And we did. In fairness, we started really well. Staff was pretty good. But it's the same old thing. I don't know what he says to him at half-time, because Forrest came out second half, towels up, and they was probably the better team. We had moments in the second half, obviously. But, yeah, I've just, yeah, frustrated.
We faded away. The second half was a real fade-out, because I agree. The first half, we were bright. We had some chances, and I thought the loss of Tom Bradshaw on 28 minutes took a lot of the spin out of the zip out of our forward play, because I thought he was combining very well with Benik Afobe, some really nice takes and turns. But that all seemed to, it put us on the back foot, didn't it? When Mason Bennett had to come in, it was like, and then the loss at half time of Shay Ojo, I think also he was playing well, and it just seemed to be a fade out, you know, as I think of it. Your point about half-time talks is an interesting one, because, you know, it's not the first time that we've kind of debated the whole management question, because Forest's form recently has been pretty, they've been an informed side under a decent manager in that Steve Cooper. And they came out, they'd had a poor half to start, really. I mean, they were on back foot against us, and we probably should have made more of it in the first. But they came out and looked a much improved side. And, you know, is it too easy a point to say what the manager's doing at half time? Because our manager seems to put the dead hand on us.
Yeah. That's
and
the
they
thing.
Came
I
out
think
firing, didn't they?
It happens too often with us. For it not, it's not a coincidence. So like you say, you have to question what when he sees how well playing first halves, what he tells them at half time, because they'll come out for a second half and be the polar opposite a lot of the time.
Absolutely. I just want to welcome Charlie Mahoney to the conversation. Welcome, Charlie.
Hello, Nick. Hello, Steve. You all right?
Hello, mate. You all right?
Good to have you on the show, Charlie. Welcome. We've only just started, so I was just saying to Steve, yesterday felt like a bit of a turning point for the season. Disappointing loss. I mean, for me now, Charlie, I'd say it's mid-table respectability that's our target. Now, how did you find yesterday's game from your side?
I thought we started really well. I think for like the first half hour, we didn't really give him a sniff, to be fair. But like you probably mentioned, maybe that like Bradshaw going off was a bit of a turning point, not putting it squarely at Bennett's door, but I think just losing him and the way he's been playing lately and the team not having that outlet and that confidence with him up front just sort of changed the whole approach, and it sort of fell apart from there, really. Like, I mean, I was watching it thinking this might be a bit like after the Lord Mayor show for them after beating Arsenal. Because, you know, we've had a couple of scalps in recent years, and the next couple of league games after that, we've just not played that well. It's not been a reflection of that previous result. But actually, as the game went on, I think Forest got a lot stronger. And then you started to see why Cooper's doing a decent job there, and they're sort of like in the mix now, really. But I wonder how much of it was down to us sort of not keeping that intensity and like not getting at them in the way that we were in that first half hour, or whether it was them being a genuinely good side. It's hard to sort of tell, I think.
I thought they looked a decent side, Steve, in the second half. I'd hasten to add that. I mean, what struck me was, and this perennial problem for us, mate, isn't it? I mean, squad depth. I don't quite understand bringing Ben Thompson on at half time. I know Ojo was a loss.
I'm still scratching me over that one, even this morning. Why Bury wasn't bolt on, because I thought he looked quite bright when he came on against Palace last week. Granted, it wasn't for long, but it would have been nice to see him given a longer stint yesterday to see what he could do. Ben come on, and like we've always said with him, he'll run and run. But in fairness, give him his credit, he went 45 minutes without falling over yesterday. But that's probably the only positive I could give you on it. He's for all the want and winning in the world, he's not good enough. And it's what you was just saying before Charlie came on about the pressing. Yeah. Once Bradshaw went off, the second half, we sat so deep, close to our own halfway line, the front three just weren't willing to step out and go and engage with them when they had the ball.
That's a great point. I mean, Charlie, I thought the real standout point for me in the first half was, yeah, we were pressing high and winning every second ball. As the ball was coming away from the tackle, it was a Millwall shirt that was picking up. And that just didn't happen in the second half. And unfortunately, I think if you give any team, Forest, I think, are a decent team, keep giving them chances to get the ball into the danger area, which is what we did, you're going to get punished at some point. Crushing for it to be so late in the game. But that's the consequence of not playing the same game that you did in the first half, really, isn't it?
Well, it's not similar to how it happened against Palace, really. Do you know what I mean? We started that game with a lot of intensity, like got at them, didn't show them a lot of respect. And then you feel like in the second half, we showed them too much respect, especially like Elise. And without sort of naming individual names yet, like the same person letting that player cut in, do his thing about three times in 15 minutes to the point where the bloke's nearly scored an hat trick. And you just felt like yesterday as well, we kind of just took our foot off the pedal and let them come at us, and then actually allowed them to express themselves a bit more and show us why they're doing all that at the moment. But the whole point with us is that we keep that intensity on them and don't let them play. And if that doesn't happen, then it's going to have serious consequences, really.
Yeah, I mean, a point that struck me yesterday, and interesting to know what both of you fellas think, is that when we play, how can I put it, let's call it a traditional Millwall style, where the crowd come into the game, because I think that's what the first half represented to me. But when we play that kind of on-fire football, however way you want to put it, we don't look a bad side. I mean, obviously, there was no Jed yesterday. We'll come back to the soap opera that is Jed's, on-off transfer. We'll see. But we don't look a bad side. I mean, there is life after Jed, Steve. I think if we can up the ante a little bit, it's just maintain that over the 90, mate. It seems to me that's where the future lies, if we can maintain that intense pressing, because that was very effective in the first half.
Yeah, I think like we're all being in agreement on the fact that we do seem to struggle to keep that higher tempo going for a whole 90 minutes, which obviously we're not one of the big hitters in the league, so you can expect it. But I think you've got so we'll go at a team for 45 minutes. Like I say, this may be where the team talk comes in as well. It's about game management. Maybe just take your foot off a little bit in the first half, but don't let them come too much onto you, instead of going all out in the first half. And then the second half, you spend the majority of it sitting back, inviting pressure on yourself.
We're in danger of being a very, very average team, aren't we? I mean, we're not a bad team by any stretch. Mid-table is, I think, probably a fair reflection. I'm hoping that's where we finish, because we don't want to get embroiled in anything down below. But I don't think we're that bad. I know that's a football cliche, isn't it? Too good to go down. So I'm hoping that mid-table is where we where we finish. But it does beg the question, what kind of Millwall are we aiming to be? I mean, for me, I don't know if you agree, the real hopeful sign this season has been the sight of some of the younger players. I mean, we mentioned Bury already. I'm amazed we didn't see him yesterday at some point, because I thought we were crying out for the creative, the willingness to take a chance and get forwards. And we saw that with Tyler against Palace, but we didn't see it yesterday. I don't understand sometimes Gary Rowett's thinking.
Well, it sticks in the craw more because, like Rowett said, I think after the Coventry game, that, like, you know, he now realises the importance of playing these young players and putting them on the bench. And it just feels like he's reverted to fight and not done it anymore. You know what I mean? No. Like, as soon as we go back to usual, like after the Palace game, and he can actually fill out the bench a bit more, these kids haven't got a chance again. And it's like, that's going to whop their confidence as well, saying that I'm going to do this and, you know, they'll be included more. But when it actually comes down to it, just not even putting them on the bench, I felt like a bit of a false dawn. At one point, I thought, yeah, he finally gets it now and people want to see these young players. And he's totally got against that already. Like, in a game that would have been fairly decent, I think, to see them, because we needed that energy and we needed that tempo. And there was something very sort of, like, I don't know, jaded about us after about 60 minutes yesterday. And
we did look tired, didn't we?
You know, the McNamara's and that, and Billy Mitchell and that, they were dead on their feet after a while because they've had to be playing so much recently. Like, I think it would have been ideal for players like Bury to come on, to be fair.
Yeah, there we are. I mean, there's some online villains, Steve. I mean, the villain of the piece yesterday is Scott Malone for that. I thought for the Friday, very nice. I missed it in real time. And I looked at the highlights before we did the call this morning, and that must admit, it does look naive. I mean, we're still encamped in our half getting forwards, and he's decided to take a quick throw in with to a phobia with nothing around him.
I mean, the thing is, really, as well. Sorry, Nick. It's like Charlie said, a lot of them were dead on their feet yesterday, especially a Afobe. He ran himself into the ground, especially in the second half. And the other thing about that Malone front, I think if you're Mason Bennett, you're losing your shit at him, because he ran 60-odd yards across the pitch to get a tackle in and win that throw. And instead of Malone just... I know, obviously, it was at a point in the game where both teams were looking to get the ball forward as quick as they could, but you'd think someone as experienced as Malone would have took a second and just had a look at a Afobe and see that he's blowing out of his arse, and maybe have a bit more of a look around to see what options he had, as opposed to just throw it to the first person that's in front of play.
Yeah, I agree.
Which I think is what is ultimately what he was looking to get the ball forward quickly, but obviously the ball's been given away and they've gone up the other end and scored. So naturally, you've got to take a bit of shit for it, I'm afraid.
we do love a villain of the piece at the Den, Charlie, don't we? It's like Penta. I mean, Ben's taken some critiquing online. I think also Billy Mitch has retained a bit of pounding, which I think is, I don't know.
A bit unjustified, that.
Unjustified. I mean, one guy I picked out earlier on was knocking Afobe. I don't know what game he was watching. I thought Afobe was one of our most effective players. But, I mean, you can always pick holes when you've conceded late like that. But it was a poor decision. But there we are. That's what happens. Boys, I want to talk about the Jed Wallace situation. I mean, he was injured. And again, someone's had a right pop at him online today, calling him all sorts of names, which I think is a bit unfair. I mean, Charlie, I think that Jed Wallace doesn't have much to prove to Millwall fans in terms of his contribution to the club. And, you know, at some point, I think he is entitled to want to do better for himself and his family. And, it hurts if he does finish up at Forest, I guess. But I can't blame any player for wanting to make the best of themselves. How do you see... How do you see the Jed situation? Is it something you just want done now, or, you know?
I think that's it, really. I want it resolved. I mean, there's a really sort of like... I try and be mature about it, like yourself, and say, you know...
It's hard to be mature.
But ultimately, I'm a Millwall supporter, and I want to call him all those names as well, despite knowing that it's not the way to go about it and that. But I think that's the key now. It's not even what happens, like,
well, when it happens, we just need a bit of clarification on it now, I think, because it's gone on too long, and I think it might be having a bit of an adverse impact on us because he was so influential. So yeah, it's like, let people know what's going on. If we're going to take a couple of million for him, just make people aware that that's the case. If he is actually injured, then fair enough, but I don't know how that would affect the dynamic of him coming back into the squad anyway, with this speculation hanging over him now. So really, I just want, I've accepted the fact that he's going to go and we're probably not really going to get anything near what he should be worth, but I just want to know what is going on now rather than hoping for the outcome of him signing a new contract or hoping for a particular fee.
Yeah. I mean, Steve, I mean, a lot, we seem to be making bids for players that have been knocked back. I'm guessing that they hinge on getting Jed done, so to speak. Until he's gone, we're not going to make any moves or in position to make any big moves anyway in the transfer market. He's not going to be replaceable, Steve, but I do think there is a life after him. I don't think he's a very good player, but he's not irreplaceable, is he? How do you see it?
No, I mean, I'll be honest. I think most people probably, when they saw the teams yesterday, my first reaction was, right, he's off, the deal's done.
Yeah, yeah.
And part of it is he doesn't play in the game yesterday. But like you said, I saw that tweet of someone digging him out this morning. He just before I came on here, he's gone back at the bloke and said, look, I have had a recurrence of my injury and I want to try and get back playing as soon as possible. So on that, you have to take it at face value what he's saying.
Because
obviously, if that is not the case and he ends up leaving, he ends up looking like an even bigger idiot. so you don't know, the thing is, when your agent puts stuff about to try and get you a move, especially when you're playing one of the teams you've been linked with and you're on course to come back from injury and then suddenly you're not involved, obviously people are going to jump to that conclusion straight away. At least he has come out on social media and addressed it himself, as opposed to just letting everyone talk about it and him saying nothing. But I agree with Charlie. Either way, it just needs sorting out now. Where if he's going to sign to the Beşiktaş thing, I don't know whether that was just agent talk. If that's a thing, get it signed. If we're going to sell him and try and get, I've heard on various things that we're looking for 2 million. If we can get to the 2 million, then take it. And like you say, no, I don't think it is irreplaceable, because I think I heard on one of your casts from last week, we're inconsistent even with him in the side. Bury looks good. I think that loan at Hartlepool's obviously done him the world of good, and he's come back a better player for it. Alafe's out, still playing well at Sutton. So there's next season, we're going to have kids coming back from loans that have had a full season of EFL football under their belt, which they'll only be the better for.
I agree. I mean, that's an interesting. You mentioned Isaac Alofe at Sutton. It's actually on my list of points to mention today, because, I mean, Charlie, I think that there's probably a case to be made now, whether Rowett will go down this road or not, I don't know. But, you know, to start to bring the youngsters in, increase and give them starts, get them in, you know, if we're going to accept we're a mid-table side now, which I think is realistic, I think you know, it's fantasy world to think of much more than that in all practical senses. Let's get Isaac Alofe back. Would you bring him back, or would you leave him to carry on at Sutton? I would like to see him. I'd like to see him in the Championship and see what he can do at this level, if it is his level. Well, is there a case going down that road, do you think?
No disrespect to him, but I think the less that we've got riding on our season, the more worthwhile it is probably putting him in now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like in the summer, I thought like, oh, maybe we should sort of put him in the sort of playing squad at least. But then they decided to loan him back to Sutton after that great season he had last year. I thought fair enough. But now I think players like him, like sort of bring him in and see what they can do and give people a bit of morale, like give people something to look forward to going down there watching it without having expectations of what we can actually achieve this season now. And I think another thing to say is that these are young players, but they're not like 16, 17. They're kind of a decent age
of maturity to be playing football. So, forgive me, I'm not exactly sure how old Alefe is, but I know he's not, you know, he's not 17. He's older than
22, 21, 22.
Yeah, you know I think in that region.
But, yeah.
I mean, Steve, would that be how you'd say, would you think Millwall fans would respond to that? That we're going to go down start to play the youth a little bit more?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I know I certainly would.
Me too. But,
I mean,
you know,
he got injured, didn't he, Alefe, in pre-season? So I think Rowett was thinking about giving him a go. And then he got injured and missed the whole of pre-season. So obviously, after that, Rowett had half an idea of what he wanted to do and decided to loan him back out. But we saw with Danny Mac last year, he came back and went straight in the team. Bury's come back from Hartlepool and he's in the squad and, like I say, he had a cameo against Palace. So it's if you're going to bring him back and use him. Don't just...
And play him, yeah.
Stick him on the bench every week and he never gets on. That would be my thing. If you're going to do it for the right reasons, bring it back and play him.
He's 22, Isaac.
He is 22. Right.
Yeah, which, to me, takes me to the point, your point, Steve. I mean, play him, because if it's not going to happen for him now at 22, would it? You know, he's made a good impact at Sutton, and maybe that's, I don't know, maybe we haven't really seen the player, so maybe that's his level, I don't know. But, you know, we need to find out from a Millwall point of view whether he's an asset that can hold his own in the Championship. Not everyone can. So let's see him. I think it's the way to go now, because I think there's got to be an acceptance after yesterday particularly. It felt like a landmark fixture, as I've said a few times, that's the season now going to be, you know, hopefully mid-table respectability at best. There's a decent atmosphere in the ground yesterday, I felt, boys, but despite some fairly stringent checking that went on to get in the ground, it felt like I was getting into like an East German stadium in pre-Cold War, you know. It was
my mate likened it to airport security.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the club's in a difficult position. I thought we'd touch on this. I don't want to go down the road of particularly knocking the clubs. It's dead easy to do that, because I think they're having to respond to the requirements that are going to be thrust upon them by the FA. But I mean, it does. And again, you know, COVID is COVID, and the government regulations are what they are. So you've got to respond to it. You can't not do it, despite what people sometimes say online. The club's not in a position to not behave within the law, but. I had to laugh, Charlie. I mean, I've showed my COVID passport at the kind of first checkpoint. Then I've gone through the line of sniffer dogs to make sure. I was getting a bit worried about my heart medication. I thought, that don't show up on this.
I thought you was going to say your cocaine supply, to be honest.
My ticker can't take that, mate. I got past the sniffer dogs. Now I've got through the turnstile. So, yeah, I mean, I suppose none of those things are Millwall FC's particular creation, but it does make for a strange experience, boys, doesn't it? I mean, you know, you're going to football at the end of the day. When I did that wall talk thing, I was telling Max, who's quite young, I was telling him about the old days when you just pitched up at a turnstile, paid your money and walked in. You know, it seems all so innocent and familiar and yet remote all at once.
The thing is, Nick, you say about the checks yesterday. I took my little girl with me yesterday, and obviously, when you take those out there who listen to take a child with them, they know it's like a military operation. So I've got like a sports bag that I just put all the stuff in that she might need throughout the day.
Yeah.
But I just sailed straight. Like, they didn't want to turn my bag out or anything. I just sailed straight through. And then you've got women with handbags who carry handbags everywhere. They're getting searched. It didn't make any sense to me.
That never ceases to amaze me, Charlie. I mean, a number of times when I've been with like female, my wife, female kind of accompaniment, shall we say, they do want to check your ladies' handbags. I mean, well, they're not going to be the ones bringing in the weapons, the pyro or whatever's going to come in, is it?
I don't know, mate. Like,
yeah, you can imagine that just turning around and their missus going, "Yeah, love, stick this in your bag for a minute."
Oh, maybe I'm naive. Yeah.
But it's that thing, it's that lack of consistency. Like,
we've all got our own views on, like, how right or wrong it is, like, the club, what they're doing and the measures and this kind of campaign they brought out saying,
Don't be a toss or whatever.
Yeah. I wonder who come up with that.
I really hope Steve Cavanagh's not sort of sat there at his computer and fancy himself as a bit of a journalist and think, this is my time to put a bit of a pun into it, do you know what I mean? Because I don't know what he's thinking, if that's what his decision is. But it's like, I don't know, I think with us,
like, probably more than any club, if you sort of, like, if you shout at people not to do something, you might get the opposite reaction, and I'm not sure they've gone about it in the right way necessarily.
Yeah, I don't know. I was talking to Steve before we started recording. I mean, I think the club is in a difficult position. It doesn't always, you know, this don't be a tosser thing. I mean, yes, we can all laugh at it. And I suppose the purpose of any advertising, Steve, is to make it memorable. Even if you hate it, you remember it. You know, it's like all the adverts you see on TV. You might not like them, but you remember them. So
I mean, the only trouble with that is, though, other than that, can you remember anything else about that statement?
No.
Exactly. You need to sell the whole thing, not just one line of a paragraph. Like,
don't bring your cocaine, please.
Yeah, yeah.
That snappy catchphrase,
Oh dear!
Yeah, it's like you say, it's like almost like a marketing gimmick he's come up with, isn't it?
Yeah, so maybe that's his new career. I don't know.
What, Charlie Don't Surf or something like that? That
Charlie Don't Surf. Like that one. Oh dear, yeah. Anyway, it was a good atmosphere. Sadly punctured, obviously, at the end by that late winner from Lewis Graben. It had to be Lewis Graben, chaps, as well. Before we close out, didn't we? You knew that was gonna happen.
He's gone from, like, do you remember, he never used to play against us at the Den. He would get the classic Millwall flu,
that's right,
and he's gone from that to now every time he plays at the Den he seems to score.
And the more grief he gets, the more, like Ian Wright back in the days, you know, the more grief he got, the better he played. So
I thought in the first half he was very quiet, grabbing. He was almost like he weren't even really playing up front for him.
No, he was just
meandering near the centre circle. Because me and my mate was like, he's not really doing a lot, is he? But then second half, as they grew into the game, he became more and more part of what they were trying to do going forward. And then obviously he was getting himself. It was a bit like, his goal was a bit like the positioning he took up was a bit like the Arsenal goal he scored.
Where he just made
sure he was there to pick up. If the ball's in the right area, he's going to be there and he gets a tap in.
It's a weird one, isn't it? Because the problem we sort of had with him when he was at our place was his lack of professionalism and commitment and his work rate and things like that. And now, like years later on,
he seems to have those
qualities, doesn't he? And he sort of gets a job done and he takes the pantomime sort of abuse quite well and uses it to fuel him. If only that was the player we'd had back then, there wouldn't have been an issue, I think.
No. And he was always a good player, I thought. But, you know, attitude was the thing, wasn't it, back then? And he seems to have turned that around. So, regular goal scorer at the Den now. I've just had a thought, actually. I've talked, just going back to security at the Den, chaps. So maybe the best security of all is to make life really boring and a dull mid-table finish where there's no excitement. You won't get many problems then. Maybe that's the club's ultimate kind of aim, you know, to bore us.
If that was the case, we'd have sorted it out years ago, wouldn't we?
Chaps, I really welcome you coming on the show today. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Charlie, and thank you, Steve. Great to talk to you both. Thank you.
No worries, Dave.
I just want to close the show, listeners. I want to say two things. Three things. Number one, I don't know if anyone's looked at this Recast video app thing. I went to watch the under-23 game the other day and they wanted £5 off me to get 150 credits for whatever, I don't know. So I closed it and didn't go back. So I'm not sure about the wisdom of Recast video for player interviews that are never going to be all that enlightening or interesting. But that's the way the modern world seems to go for video content for clubs. So questionable from the Recast. I want to say also thank you to everyone that contributed to the Bob Hunter plaque. Bob Hunter was one of our early coaches and then a great manager for us just after the First World War. And I wanted to get some money to put a plaque on the wall that the club were advertising, and we made the £500 dead easy. And I just want to say thank you to each and every one that contributed to that. I will do a little note of something to say thank you, because that happened so quickly that it took me aback a little bit. So that will happen. I will let people know when that plaque goes up. It's a great figure from pre-First World War football. And finally, chaps, I just want to say rest in peace to Paul Hinshelwood, who was a member of our 84-85 promotion winning season. I think he came into the squad about halfway through under George Graham. Ex-Palace player. Most of his career had been spent, and his name was probably really made at Crystal Palace. But he was a member of the Millwall squad in the mid-80s. And he's passed away, and I actually saw the Crystal Palace club feed posting a little obituary to him.
Yeah, so, I saw that this morning as well, yeah.
Good, solid defender, I think, Steve. So I think RIP to Paul Hinshelwood.
Yeah, a bit before my time, but yeah, like you say, rest in peace.
A really important Millwall squad as well, in terms of what we would go on to do a few seasons after, I think. Like, the development of us as a club was massive in the mid-80s. Under Graham.
Well, Graham turned us around, saved us from, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say, if we'd have been relegated to the fourth division, the club may have folded. Times were that grim then. He saved us from that and got us promoted, which enabled us to build a platform for the first division days. And here we are now to talk about it. So, and Paul Hinshelwood was a solid member of that squad. So he's passed away. So RIP. Chaps, thank you for coming on the show today. Really, really enjoyed it. And we'll hopefully do it again soon. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Steve.
Cheers, Nick. Cheers, Steve.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Aston Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please go over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. Arrivederci, Millwall. Till next time.
Who do you want to watch?
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.